Do can't live talk about books and stuff.
Hello and welcome to Can't Lit. It's a podcast where we talk about literature, but also we do some complaining. We do some cheerleading. And who knows? I might cry. You never know. This podcast is a real wild card now. Very special OG guest slash co-host for this bonus episode, Daniel Zamparelli. You may remember him from such things as this podcast and a book that we wrote together.
That's it.
That's it. So it is just me, Dina Delbucchia, Jen Sukfong Lee, not present, but we miss her.
She didn't want to come. JK, she wanted to come.
She did want to come.
We're drinking whatever sparkling was at the gas station.
It's called Todd Hollow. And it has a picture of two, I would say, very erotically dressed frogs, one of whom is only wearing a vest.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot, this episode is like our Disneyland episode of like Roseanne or...
It's very similar.
Who was the other one? Full House did one.
Sure.
Except... We can't afford Disneyland. We're going to go to Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Also, they're not sponsoring us because they don't care.
And no one else cares.
No one else cares.
So it's just the two of us who care.
And you, the listener.
Yeah.
Also doesn't care.
I mean, God willing, somebody cares. This episode is also very special because we're recording on Daniel's birthday.
That's right.
Happy birthday, Daniel.
Thank you so much. I love being 73.
You look beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Your skin is so flaky and hot.
It's this dry climate.
Yeah, it's great. So we're going to talk about what's happening.
Well, why don't you go first?
Okay, I'll go first. Yeah. I am in Los Angeles visiting Daniel.
Welcome.
Thank you. My skin and hair feel great.
Which is weird for this place.
It's just because it's been... For Vancouver, cold and a bit drier than usual, so I'm not getting any moisture from the constant rain of the rainforest. But the dry climate lets my hair do whatever it wants. Like, it will listen instead of it being humid and terrible and my hair constantly complaining.
Right. Do you think the big fire near us is helping?
Oh, yeah. The fire near the zoo?
Yeah.
I am praying for those animals, and I don't believe in anything except for just miniature Halloween candy chocolate.
Right.
So
I know that the city is like truly a hellmouth because there's always a fire.
Yeah. I mean, I survived the
entire
province being on fire this past summer with nary a tickle in my throat. So I'm ready.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm ready to handle it. The acres and acres and acres of devastated forests. It hurt me emotionally and psychologically, but not physically.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's like what you can only hope for.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like that's all that's happening. Oh, the only other thing is I did finish my book. So please look for it in the spring.
What's it called?
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Exclamation mark.
I've read two different versions of it, I think. Yeah.
You gave me amazing notes. I wouldn't have been able to do it without you.
Great.
As always.
That's all I want to hear.
I know. It's, as always, the most important factor is you.
Great.
Yeah. What's happening with you?
I just launched my new American podcast that hopefully you've already listened to. If you haven't, it's called I'm Afraid That.
I have listened to both episodes, and I gave you a 5-star review.
Thank you so much.
On iTunes.
And if you're a listener of Can't Lit and you enjoyed me in the past, go on there and listen and also give me a 5-star.
Also,
if you think it's a 4-star, still give me a 5-star because that's a dick move.
Even if you didn't enjoy it before.
Yeah.
If you didn't like Daniel on Can't Lit, you should definitely still listen to the new podcast. It's
come
very different.
Come and not enjoy me on my new podcast.
It's different. You may... be even happier with Daniel.
I need this more than ever because I have nothing else to do in LA.
Please help Daniel. I can't just fly down here every weekend.
She has to come and emotionally support me.
Even though I would love to be an emotional support human that comes down every weekend.
I bought her a vest that says nervous.
It's really cute. It's embroidered.
So yeah, the podcast is about asking people about what their specific worst or weirdest fears are, and then we try and find some experts who will help us kind of uncover what that means.
I think it's really fascinating. Because also, as writers, we talk so much about, or I think we address in our work overall, writers, ideas around the emotionality of things that we're afraid of or ashamed of. And I think it plays into that. So,
Dina, do you have a fear?
I have lots.
That's a good one.
I mean, I'm super scared of the concept of money, but we're not going to talk about that. That's like 10 podcasts worth. Yeah. Like,
that's a whole podcast series.
Yeah. Capitalism. Why is it terrifying?
Yeah.
The end. It's one sentence. We don't need to go further. I am and historically have been afraid of the dark.
Just like the Canadian TV series.
Yes. I'm like the Canadian children's horror series, Are You Afraid of the Dark? When it asked that question, I said yes.
Do you, so you slept over at our...
I did.
Home.
Yeah.
And you said that you were able to sleep with the lights all off.
I was.
Was that, and that was because we were there.
Yeah, I felt safe. But any time that like when I was a younger kid, like a little girl, I definitely got really stressed out being in the dark. And
did
I think...
Did you have a nightlight?
I did. Yeah.
Was it always on?
It was always on.
Huh.
It was always on.
Was your house like was there like dark areas of your house you were afraid to go to?
Well, like also I grew up in a small town, so everywhere you went was dark. It's not like in the city where you go outside and there were some streetlights, but if you were to go look out behind my house, the only thing behind our house was just the forest.
Right.
Like a gigantic cedar tree.
Which if you've seen The Witch, that forest is great.
You're helping.
This is
obviously psychologically soothing for me to address this. But yeah, when you live in a rural area, there's no light. The stars are the only thing. I mean, it's beautiful because you can see stars, but yeah, there's nothing to protect you. And I would get freaked out. And to this day, I was telling Daniel and Gabe that when something traumatic happens. Like this year, a few traumatic things have happened, including...
Did you talk about them on the podcast?
Oh, yeah. Both of them. Those two big things, okay. For sure. Yeah. So I was rent evicted, and I didn't talk about some other personal stuff that was stressful. And also, I had lice.
Yeah.
And after the lice situation, I had to sleep with a nightlight on again.
Because to see if the lice would come back.
I was calling them to my head.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what I love? Just a super itchy raw scalp.
Yeah.
That is uncomfortable and painful. And you're I wanted them to come back.
You're like Pinhead.
Yeah.
But lice.
Exactly. I wanted that experience.
You're a lice queen.
Yeah. Lice queen Del Bucchia is what they were calling me. So, yeah, when something's...
I'm sorry you had lice.
Sure, it was not the best. Well, and it also brought back memories of having bed bugs and other, you know, upsetting things. So, I got really weirdly in a place of trauma because of that, which sounds somewhat superficial, but it stressed me out. Yeah, and I had to go back to...
having lights on.
Having a light on sleep time. To be able to calm down.
Yeah, it's weird how, like, when you have, like, a childhood fear that it comes back in a way that...
It's so weird.
Because you're, like, not feeling secure or safe.
Yeah, it definitely comes from a place of not being in control, which I like to be to a certain degree. I mean, I could be a fun person. I could be fun. I also told Daniel earlier today that's why I'm so bad at doing drugs. Like drinking for some reason is fine, but anything else I'm just like, no, I definitely don't know how long this is gonna last, what the parameters are.
There's too many questions.
It's too stressful. Like also, I would like, love to be a more chill fucking fun person, but I'm not.
Yeah, like what's like Like, it's harder to have a bad trip on alcohol.
Of course it is.
Because you just, the worst trip, you fall asleep.
Yes, exactly.
And it was embarrassing, maybe. But you don't remember.
Yeah. Like, maybe I barf, but also I've barfed so many times in my life, I don't even care anymore.
Also, if you, listener, if you get to that point, please also don't drink that much.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe I took this too far, but yes, listen to Daniel. He's a responsible-ish adult.
And this is, I'm saying that as somebody who's fallen asleep in many clubs.
Oh, yeah. I used to fall, when I worked at an industrial plant, I worked 2 and 2. So I would work 2 day shifts and 2 night shifts. And on the night that was sort of in between my last day shift and my first night shift, I would be so tired from doing this weird schedule. And when I would go to the bar, again, this is in a small rural town, I would fall asleep probably every third time that I would do this. And the bartender or someone in the bar would be like, she's so wasted, you got to get her out of here. And they're like, no, she just works shift work. Like, yeah. She needs help.
Yeah. I've definitely been asked to leave clubs. And then my friends had to be like, oh, he's just tired.
Sleepy.
And I can't remember if I told the story in the podcast, but I like in at one bar, I was so thankful to be kicked out that I thanked the bouncer's like, you got to go. And I was like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And
thank
I just like
you.
Was thanking him as I was leaving. And he was like, could see that I was like stark sober.
I love it.
Yeah.
So we're back on the podcast together. It's been, I think, a year.
Yeah, we did, I think, the Christmas one last year.
We did,
right?
Yeah, we did.
What a nice tradition.
Special holiday episode. Yeah, great tradition. And a lot has happened since we've last been on the mic together in
I've
the
only
world
been,
of Canlit.
I've I only mean, been watching from afar on Twitter.
But you are still engaged in all of the, I mean, you know.
I'm
Delbino now. A lot of things have changed in the world of Canlit. And when we started the podcast, we very innocently tried to create some segments, including one that was called Canlit Feuds. And,
you know, to cover who's fighting in Canadian literature.
Because there always were people that were fighting, mostly poets who were very petty in their...
Petty poets. Aww.
Yeah, petty poets. Yeah,
Petty Poets Corner.
What an innocent time. And for us to sort of break that down. And a lot of it happened on Twitter. Griping and sniping. Things of that nature. Also gerunds. I know poets hate gerunds, so I'm glad that I just used a few. You fucking hate gerunds, you little monsters, you little shits. Get over it. Sometimes you have to use a gerund.
Yeah.
That's a sidebar.
Yeah. I feel like I'm like now getting nostalgic for like feuds, because remember when feuds were just about like how like they used to just be about, this is like literally just 2 years ago, but and it's still like common but like about like form, that's like,
yes,
poets being like mad at experimental poets,
yeah,
and experimental
of
poets
course
being mad at lyrical poets.
They're like, quit talking about your feelings,
like, that's the real poetry.
And like, everyone calm down.
Yeah. Now everyone is just literally gonna get sued.
Yeah, people are actually being sued, and it's extremely disheartening. So we have documented, it's been almost 3 years since, three? No, two. It's been almost 2 years since UBC Accountable became an entity that I made fun of extensively.
Yeah.
So the open letter came
out. UBC Accountable's like... kind of reminds me of, like, a villain on, like, Reboot.
The animated show on
yeah,
my
yeah,
TV?
Yeah.
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 Oh.
Nobody here in America knows what Reboot is, and it's very disappointing.
No one knows what UBC Accountable is either, so also disappointing.
Yeah.
So we've come far, mm-hmm, but also so much stress and pain has been a part of people's lives, whether you were directly involved or whether you were a former student at UBC or whether you were someone that was friends with people who were involved in the Stephen Galloway investigation. Like, there's a lot that's gone on overall that has been upsetting and painful.
Yeah.
So now we've reached a point where, what can I even say?
I don't know. I feel like we're already being sued right now.
I do worry constantly about being sued. And I think that that is obviously a tactic for...
Definitely a tactic. Because also, like, writers have no money.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that, like, Canadian writers have no money. So suing is a
just directly
automatic tactic.
Sue the Canada Council for money to get the money that the writers would get from a grant before they get it. Like, yeah. That's the only option.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's...
Like a suing grant?
Yes. Like, oh, my God, a suing grant. I'm like, I know we're joking, but also not.
But
like,
because
it's like, that's happened now so many times.
Yeah, it does make sense. Yeah, it's there have been two lawsuits.
There's like so many, people are getting so many letters.
Jeremy Dodds is suing people. And now Stephen Galloway is suing people that
like,
were
collectively,
involved.
They're suing collectively, like 40
yeah.
people.
There's a, I think it's 23.
20, I think, 22. No, I thought it was 25 for his. And Jeremy Dodds was like a collective of people he can't
yeah,
find.
I can't remember. All of the breakdown.
And now us, too, so two more.
Yeah, so I guess we'll probably get our own special lawsuit.
Can they sue me if I'm not a Canadian resident
you
anymore?
You still can be sued.
Oh, so I just can't
you
go
You think
home.
You just can't be sued because you, like, left the country?
Yeah. I feel like people just be like, well, Daniel doesn't matter anymore.
No, you still matter. You matter more now. That's the whole point of a Canadian artist leaving Canada. You then become more important.
I'm like Seth Rogen.
Yes. You're exactly like Seth Rogen. You both grew up in Vancouver.
Canadian
you
Seth
left.
Rogen.
He's not, though. He's the American Seth Rogen.
Isn't that, yeah, he became
great.
The American
I'm
Seth
glad Rogen. That we broke this down. So I just want to say that a lot of people with not a lot of money are being sued. There are people that I love very dearly who are involved in this lawsuit. There are people who have mentored me. There are people who are friends. There are people who I deeply respect, people who are doing a lot of good in the Canadian literary community. And there is a GoFundMe for them. And I will make sure to link to that when the episode is posted. So if you are able to donate money, they're really going to need your help because... Yeah, Canadian defamation law really puts the onus on these people and not on anyone who has been accused of anything, allegedly.
Yeah.
So it involves – it's very complicated and yeah. stressful and
– Also, you can literally just go to our Twitter accounts.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely retweeted yeah. that. I will get make sure that Can't Lit also retweets that so that it's available to you. I don't like it. Am I allowed to say that?
I think so.
I don't like it.
She didn't like it, so I sued her.
Well, I mean...
That's how I'm going to sue you. What if we sued each other? Then we're, like, free, right? How does that work?
Sure. Then it's even?
Then it's even. So it's been a year, so we have to have a year in review of our favorite books.
All right. Daniel, do you want to go first?
Yes, but I have to look at my phone.
You're allowed.
And find them.
You can look at your phone as much as you need.
I know right off the bat, Dennis Smith's Don't Call Us Dead was one of my favorites.
I need to read that.
It's in my home. You can read it when we get home.
I will read it tomorrow morning.
I will also say I enjoyed... immensely. These books also may not have come out this year because I am so slow at reading.
I think it's important when we talk about books that we've read during the year for us not to only focus on new books.
Yeah.
And here's my point. So often books come out and they only get attention in their first same month of existence. But books are actually something that can obviously continue to be relevant well after their, you know, their debut. So I like that you're talking about books that maybe didn't come out this year.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
Great. This Wound is a World by Billy Ray Belcourt.
Amazing.
That was
also,
so good.
Also loved it.
The three chapbooks out from, can you name, remember the press name?
Rahila's Ghost Press.
Yes, please. That's the one. Bad Egg by Benny Zhao. Normal Women by Megan Fenya Jones, and The Tide by Jake Byrne.
The Tide by Jake Byrne, also just nominated for a very cool Chapbook Award.
But that you can't remember the name of
it. I don't remember it.
Me neither.
No, the BP Nickel Chapbook Award.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Keeping It Going, An Honest Woman by Yonina Curtin.
I love that book. It was on at the end of last year, it was on my top 10 list that I made for Literary Press Group because it was it's unbelievable.
Just like, I don't know. It's just like yes, we're in a moment of like Me Too, but it's like one of these moments has existed for a while and her work kind of just, I feel like, covers this span of it.
It does. And she's a woman in her 60s. She's had...
Oh, do not... Sorry. Age her.
I'm just saying, she definitely would talk about like, she is the kind of person who's had a full life and started publishing later in her career. Not later in her career, but, like, you know, she's not an ingenue poet. And the things that she's saying are stinging and super relevant.
Yes.
It's an amazing book. I loved it so much.
Keeping It Going, Prison Industrial Complex Explodes by Mercedes Zhang. Obviously, Brother by David Chiriandi.
Amazing book.
These books are all on like the BC Book Prize that I was up for. So that's, I like went through and read all of them. My friend wrote a book called Your Art Will Save Your Life by Beth Pickens.
Pickens, yeah.
Great book for like when you're feeling like, I don't want to write because the world is terrible. She kind of gives you like a, almost like all these like advice type pieces to push forward. A lot of books I didn't like.
Name 10. Just kidding.
One of the authors I interviewed for the podcast is Margie Kerr, and Scream, Chilling Adventures in the Science of Fear. Loved it.
I really want to read that.
Next Year for Sure by Zoe Lee Peterson.
Amazing. I love that book.
Where we got? Oh, Her Body and Other Parties.
Oh, also on my list for sure.
Like that... That book was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting closer to the end of my list. Rat's Nest by Matt LaPorte.
Mm.
Experimental short fiction that like truly blew my mind. Like I was just so excited with each story. My Life as a Goddess by Guy Branum.
Mm-hmm.
Delight.
Great book.
Trouble the Water by Derek Austin. Beautiful Poems. Those came out a couple years ago, not new. How to Write an Autobiographical Novel by Alexander Chee. I think this is one of the very few that came out this year. And I like that one that says a lot of weird erotica. That was for a podcast. I'll promote it.
A lot of weird erotica.
Yeah.
Just keep it in your mind.
And I loved The Bone Mother by David Demchak. It was wonderful to read.
I haven't read that, but I
want to
read that. Yeah. Okay. I guess it's my turn. So a lot of books that Daniel mentioned were also things that I read this year and loved. And of course, we're going to miss things that were great. So.
Yeah, like there's definitely more I could have named, but it's like that list was long as shit.
If we didn't mention things, but we're shitty.
We'll do it next year.
Yeah. I like that you brought up chapbooks because I also want to mention David Lee's Stubbleburn.
David Lee's Stubbleburn is
also
on my list.
Which is a wonderful chapbook. His debut poetry, full-length poetry collection, Mythical Man, will be out in 2020. Yeah.
That would have been on my list, but that was actually weirdly not listed on my Tumblr because there's one that I had as a note that said a bunch of chapbooks.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I know that you read so many chapbooks, though. But again, all those chapbooks are wonderful. And Rahila's Ghost has also put out three other chapbooks in the spring, and three more are going to be coming out, I think, this month. So more chapbooks are coming your way from the amazing people at Rahila's Ghost Press, who we had on the very first episode of 2018. We had some of the production team, as well as some writers, poets, and their editors. So very fun. Johnny Appleseed by Joshua Whitehead.
Oh, that's on my to-read list.
What an amazing
book. It's on my nightstand.
Yeah, just a phenomenal book. Of course, the follow-up to Ian Robinson's Son of a Trickster, Trickster Drift. just the what a joy to read Eden 2 years in a row. I can't wait for next year for there to be a new installment in this trilogy. It's so exciting. Jared is a phenomenal protagonist, and all of the women in his life are fascinating, whether they're related to him, friends, his ex-girl, all of it. They're just, it's a phenomenal series. Sodom Road Exit by Amber Dawn.
Oh, see? Gabe's reading it right now, so I can't read it yet.
Yeah. Queer horror, and also, like, very funny, very sharp, really smart. Just a wonderful book. Little Fish by Casey Plett.
Just, I haven't read that one yet either.
Again, another book. Like, it's beautiful. It's light. It's dark. It's heartwarming. It's heartbreaking. It's great. It's a great, 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 great fucking book. I also finally read The Marrow Thieves by Sherry Demelin, mm-hmm. which is amazing. Emma Healy's Stereo Blind, if you're looking for poetry, loved it.
I don't think I've read that one yet.
Oh, you're going to love that. That makes sense. It's so good.
I think that's on, I've like purchased all these books, yeah. but they're on my big read list.
Yeah. I really liked Claire Tayson's In Search of the Perfect Singing Flamingo, which is a really heartening novel. It's going to make you feel better. Back to poetry, Stevie Howell's I Left Nothing Inside on Purpose. Wow. But I, again, so many things that were on my list were already on Daniel's, so I'm just going to let that.
Yeah, there's no need to repeat.
Settle in. And I'm currently reading, who will be an upcoming guest, Keith Millard's Twin Studies.
I've been hearing great things on Twitter.
It's great. It's great. And again, all the books by writers we've had on the podcast this year have been phenomenal. I'm every year so happy, drunk in love.
Yeah.
Surfboard for all of the writers.
Can't wait to get a surfboard license plate keychain.
And?
At Universal tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Surfboard.
Yeah, I can't wait.
What was I going to say? It's also funny being here in LA and I'm like still bad at like reading Americans because I'm constantly just trying to catch up with the great Canadian books.
It's interesting though because
we should talk about that.
What?
The Walrus. Oh, There's no great Canadian
Let's
novel.
Let's talk about it. Great.
I didn't read it.
I didn't read it either. It just seemed so disingenuous. So I'm sure...
It just feels like one of those articles that comes out like every 2 months to try and to be like, why isn't Canadian literature good like America? Just like this
why
like,
isn't it
fake
important?
Article
yeah.
that's uninteresting.
Yeah.
Like, no offense to the author. He's probably a delightful person. I didn't read it.
I didn't read it. I couldn't tell you who wrote it.
I had like, Canadian literature has like formed me in such a way that's like, God, like, I don't know. I just, there's so many books where I'm like, that's a fucking, Larissa Lai's Saltfish Girl.
Yeah.
I think about it constantly.
I can't wait. Here's a book that I can't wait to read.
Her next one.
Larissa Lai's The Tiger Flu.
Yeah.
I'm fucking stoked. I cannot wait.
And it's like, everyone has their own version of what is the great blank book.
Well, and things have really changed from the expectations that we used to have. Of Canadian literature.
Right.
And I mean, this is why we can, if we want to, trash talk something in the canon, like The Handmaid's Tale. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine if we have criticism of that book.
Because also it's like, it is one of the great Canadian novels. Like it exists as that.
There are so many books that are the great Canadian novel. We have that. We have myriad Michael Ondaatje books that you can
I'm
read.
Never going to read.
You can read or not read. You don't have to get involved. You know, you've got your Mordecai Richler. There's so many things.
The English Patient, it was like the biggest thing ever.
Yeah.
I read one chapter.
Fine.
And then I put it away.
I don't even remember. I probably read 60 pages, but I don't remember any of it.
But it's like also like Sub Rosa changed the way I write.
Totally.
That's Amber Dawn's. It's like just.
Yeah.
Like what a. I'm so tired of disingenuous, like. Arguments.
Oh, me too.
the thing I will say about that I'm excited about is that I feel like there's so many great books coming out. I'm excited for your book coming out.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and write another book somehow.
Yeah, me too. We're both going to write more books.
We'll try.
Probably. But I think we've definitely covered this before on the podcast, but there are so many things that are happening in our community that are amazing. And people like Rahila's Ghost putting out books. People like in Vancouver, all of the amazing women, including Yonina, Jessica Johns, all these people who are running the Indigenous Brilliance reading series. There are more bookstores in the city now, including Massey Books, which is a new bookstore that is really amenable to events and has been so great overall. Even the stuff we're doing with Poetry is Dead, the guest editors we've had the past few years have been phenomenal. The things they're putting out are amazing.
Are great.
Yeah, we have upcoming issues that are going to be so exciting. I'm just thrilled.
Remember to subscribe, poetriesdead.ca. Yeah, we need your support,
please,
as always.
Please subscribe.
It also helps keep this podcast going.
That's true. Poetry is Dead.
I'm still the publisher. You can't fucking get rid of me.
We're never getting rid of you. And just the work that small presses are doing. And things like The Fold and Growing Room, literary festivals that are really making a big change in terms of who they're inviting and really taking accessibility seriously,
yeah,
which is extremely important. And I know that we have been remiss, I will mention it again, in getting transcriptions done for the podcast. And it is still important to us, but I can't lie, I'm a dirtbag.
It's also, it's expensive. And so it's like we're trying to make sure that we have some available when they're requested.
Yeah.
If there's one, any you want, please request.
We can get that done first.
Also, we'll have to transcribe this for me to, God damn it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, this is what's problematic about so many things. So hopefully we will be starting a Patreon so that we can focus that money very specifically on keeping the podcast going, but also on getting transcriptions done.
Yeah. Great.
I feel like we got really serious.
Yeah. What ride are you most excited for tomorrow at Universal Studios?
Oh, God, I don't even know. I'm overall just excited.
What are you more excited for, Harry Potter Land or Simpsons Land?
I think I'm more excited for Simpsons Land.
That's the right feeling to have.
Okay, good.
It's a very high, like, high ass, no. It's a very intense Harry Potter fan. Simpsons is the better one.
I mean, I also love Harry Potter, but yeah, there's something about the I just feel like it'll have more life.
It makes more sense, because also when you go there, Harry Potter's like winter.
Right.
And you're like, it's hot, and there's all these tourists dressed in tourist clothing, whereas when you go to Simpsons, everyone kind of looks like a Simpsons character already.
I mean, I am overall just so excited to not be wearing tights right now.
Yeah.
Tight
free life.
Not wearing tights is amazing.
No tight club.
Not tight. So loose. Loose club. I'm so loose.
Yeah.
I'm just really excited to be freely wearing the clothing that I prefer.
Great.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we did.
We did great. We did Daniel, great. Is there, do you have any other things coming up? So obviously your podcast, I'm afraid that people should be listening to it.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful.
Find more information about it at imafraidthat.com.
Yes.
Or you'll find it on my Twitter or any iTunes, Stitcher, blah, blah, blah. You
and
know.
Daniel's Twitter is at Danny Zomps.
Yes.
So go there if you would like to just enjoy more of him forever.
Also just enjoy my edits of Hallmark Christmas movies.
Oh, yeah. The most important work you're doing right now is photoshopping Hallmark and Lifetime holiday movie posters. Yeah.
Lice sculpture Christmas is so good.
I didn't even feel traumatized by it. I loved it. I thought it was a fucking beautiful.
Great.
You can follow us at Cantlit on Twitter. We're at Cantlit on Facebook. You can go to cantlit.ca. You can subscribe, of course, on Apple Podcasts.
Rate 5 stars.
Please write a review. And
hopefully you can support the Patreon account at this time that this comes out.
By the time this comes out, Goddess Witch Willing will have
Sabrina Willing.
How did you feel about Sabrina?
Fine.
Also liked it.
I liked it, but fine.
I liked it.
Too, It's too much to like critique right now.
It's fine. We don't have to get into that.
Great.
Great. Here's what I will say. Excellent use of turtlenecks. Big fan.
I liked all their lipsticks.
Lipsticks were great.
Yeah.
Great sweaters. Great turtlenecks.
Great haircuts.
Yeah. As someone who already decided that their fall aesthetic was going to be like a late 60s, early 70s collegiate vibe, I felt like I was on board.
Great.
So, Daniel, I only have one question for you.
Oh.
What can't you with?
Oh, my God. I didn't even, I'm not even prepared.
Daniel, what can't you with?
Oh, I can't with, I guess I still just can't with suing.
I was going to say also lawsuits.
I just can't with.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just there's like another way. Like it's just like, there's just another way. There's ways to do things in this, like, this is, there's way to do things that is more sincere than lawsuits. Because this isn't the same thing. It's not, I don't know, like, it's hard to explain, but it's like, if you want to come forth with honesty and with understanding of how things went down or how things had happened, there's like a million ways to come forward with that. Especially, there's like, just write a fucking Medium article to explain yourself or whatever. Like,
no,
just
that's
like,
already, yeah.
But there's just like, suing doesn't feel like the, this doesn't feel like a good suing.
I agree.
And like, I mean this for many cases. I'm not saying this as a specific thing. I'm saying that as a,
I just think, you know, if you want to rehabilitate your persona, you have options that include doing good work in your community, taking care of people in your life, and not attacking other people.
Yeah.
Like, there's a way to do it where you actually can make positive changes and try to do things that are going to help people instead of doing more damage.
Yeah. It's like hard for me to specifically say it, but it's like, it just doesn't feel, it feels like such a destructive way to go about things that it's like, there's got to be a light. There's got to be like a light to follow. Like,
yeah,
this feels dark.
It's a, there's a, there are non-vengeful tactics.
Yeah.
Daniel, always a delight.
Great.
To host with you is to bring, is to make my dreams come true.
Great. I hope you enjoyed recording at the podcast studio where I record I'm Afraid
It's
That.
It's so beautiful.
It's very adorable.
I mean, I feel spoiled now.
Great.
And so I'm going to be a real diva and a bitch every time I record from now on.
Perfect.
Listeners, I love you so much. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
You're the best.